It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
These kids' real teachers are these satanic musical things.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Now these are sounds of different things that other people have recorded.
Howdy, hi, and welcome to all of the Cut by Cut folks out there who have been with us for the past few months. It is our relatively seasonal, festive, perhaps holiday celebration, and we have our workhorse, the man behind the mission, the hook and the crook, Chris Spicy White Holiday St. Sauveur.
Hello, everybody.
And we have the hostess with the mostest, a heart of glass and fists of fury, Brooke Jawbreaker St. Sauveur, joining us today as well.
Hi, how are you?
Delightful. We have a third party today.
We have a guest.
And
it's
fantastic.
Whoa.
Well, you want to tell us the title of the show now as a good transition as any?
Yeah, tonight we're Rated Xmas.
Ooh. And you want to talk about what that means, Chris?
Well, it means whatever we want it to mean.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
Take that, America.
Take that.
Yeah. We're taking the war on Christmas or the war of Christmas to a whole new level, I think.
Or are we taking on the war on Christmas?
We are taking on the war on Christmas. And you know what?
I don't really know.
I'm just going to be completely honest with you. Thank God we've been doing this introduction because I legitimately queued up the wrong song.
Nice.
So
well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah. So this might, you might hear something in the background here. Give us a second.
Paper shuffling.
Yeah.
All right. Keyboards clacking.
And so, Chris, you're going to lead off this episode.
Okay.
Because you were the one who figured out that what was supposed to be episode 15 actually is going to be pushed to episode 16.
So we lied. Our season 2 episode ended with a lie.
That is completely and 100% true.
Season 2 pilot, yeah, first episode of season 2.
It was a cliffhanger.
We flat out lied to our constituents.
Look at us. We're not just trailblazers.
Brazers? Isn't that a website?
Yes, it is. Well, we're talking about the, you know, Xmas. We are not just trailblazers. Not just taste makers, but we are ho 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 rump shakers.
What'd you call my wife?
I did not call her anything that was get me in trouble anywhere at any time. I actually like her more than I like you, so
easily. Yeah. Yes, that's appropriate.
All right, you want to introduce this track?
All right, so I we took this Rated Xmas, and I took this as a lots of dead air, kill this when you edit.
Yep.
Me. My mind went to a NoFX song off their album self-entitled called Xmas Has Been X'd. So you see what I did there? Rated Xmas, Xmas Has Been
X'd. No, in fact, I really enjoy it. You sent me that title and I turned to somebody that I was working with and I said, what do you think about this title? And they were like, you would be a moron if you did not use it. Yeah. So
good.
Where in the Parthenon of NoFX does this track fall? Because they have they've been around forever and they've got a million releases.
Yeah, so it's more recent than old. I'll put it that way.
They
have, off. It's, I want to say it's like two or three albums ago. It's more recent than not. It's got their more recent kind of.
So Wolf and Wolf's Clothing.
After that.
Okay. All right, well, let's cue it up. Give it the traditional minute, which takes us more than halfway through the song.
Yeah,
in NoFX standards.
So it's this song is taking on tongue in cheek, I guess, the idea of the war on Christmas.
Yeah, I really. We'll get to it after. Yep. Just play a little bit of it, and then we'll get to it.
Bam.
A delightfully visual video of NoFX getting on a bus.
Christmas. Yeah,
because this is the last Christmas playing the track.
Here we go.
fables became historic when the others clearly wrote them to be metaphoric. But people will believe anything if it's written, especially in stone or ancient scroll. December 25th has been blacklisted since Dawkins found the proof Jesus never existed. It was the last thing anyone ever expected. Xmas has been X, no colored lights, no shopping sprees, no more presents under dead trees. Saint Nick is dead, but we don't grieve. We celebrate the last Christmas Eve. Jesuits are slowly turning Dianetic. Protestants increasingly become agnostic.
I always want to hate NoFX so much.
It's tough.
You know, they're so smug. And Fat Mike, like, he's fighting the good fight. And I have nothing but that sort of sour grapes jealousy of, like, really him? But, like, I've never, with very few exceptions, I've never heard a NoFX song that I haven't enjoyed.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's a good sing-along, though. Any of those songs.
Yeah.
Do you sing along to this, Brooke?
No. I bop around.
You bop around.
This is
around.
An album I don't play very often.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not one that Brooke would probably know just by hearing. But
sure,
all the old stuff though.
Now, are you guys like a punk rock family? Is this stuff that you play around the house and you know make cleaning fun and whatnot?
Sometimes.
All right, fair enough.
Brooke, do you want to cop to anything here?
I learned it by watching you.
What? Learned what by watching me?
Well, just you have your musical taste, which at some times can be a little more intense than mine.
Okay.
A lot of your albums are good cleaning albums, right?
Yeah, for scrubbing. Like really getting
like
in there and
swearing and getting those corners and
yeah.
Washing the walls and
I'll accept that.
Yeah. Every time Chris sends me a song, I get kind of a little, like, you know, flop sweat when I'm like, oh, God, what is this track going to be?
You get nervous.
Yeah, I do. I really start to.
What is he doing now?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how deep does this go down? I type into YouTube and I go, I can't find this. Is there a video for this? I really started panicking with next episode's song when I couldn't find lyrics.
I found it for you. When you couldn't find lyrics,
I know.
Right.
I guys are like really freaking out. So you guys want to you wanna start about like you were talking about wanting to what, soft sell or rip open the bag of worms or unleash
worms.
The tanks in your War on Christmas?
Well, no. So I find I'll get a little background here. I'm relatively. And I'll call it, I don't like using the word atheistic or agnostic, I guess, in the terms of, not to get too religious here, but so I'll just call it neutral.
Okay.
I have this approach where if it's making people better people, I would never get in the way of it.
Yeah.
So, Christmas to me, I have the origin I have in terms of how I was brought up, like kind of Irish Catholic, but it's not. Christmas to me is a day, is a family thing, family day. It's just I try to treat it the same as I treat Thanksgiving, where it's a day of just try to get everyone together in the same place and celebrate family, if you will.
Sure. Well,
it's hard to avoid the commercialism side of it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you got kids, you try to teach them the right thing, but you also want everyone to be happy. So, yeah.
I mean, I feel the same way too. Like, and I think that's a shared view as parents. It is more about family for us, so.
I have a hard time with the idea of Santa.
Oh, yeah.
That was a tough thing to
all right, well,
introduce to the family.
I was going
to
say.
Or
so,
not introduce.
So yeah. do you guys, are you guys a family that does Santa or doesn't do Santa?
Okay, so the way
explain,
we handle
we
that.
We don't have
like
to go down
like,
this road
like
right
way,
now.
I like the way Brooke explained
it. Right. No, we can. So, you know, I want them to generate their own beliefs.
Yeah.
I want them, if they want to think that that's
a thing,
that's what happens.
Sure.
Someone comes down your chimney, which I think is a really horrible thing as a child to believe, but that's just my own you know, breaking and entering.
Yeah.
For that one person is okay. But
he gets a pass. There's an exception to every rule, Brooke.
We give him cookies.
Every rule has an exception.
Gifts, and he's, so yeah. We'll let it slide. But I want them to kind of just go with their own beliefs, because I don't want to. I don't want them to think that we lied to them.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't want this relationship based on lies.
No, that was my parents' shtick. My parents' thing was, look, we make enough money to live as a family, and we don't have the luxury of extra things, you know? So when I was a kid, my parents were like, we're not going to go down that particular road, right? Because we don't want somebody else taking credit for the things that we've provided. So my parents would knowingly and winkingly put, like, Santa in quotation marks.
Right.
But there was, and that was always the big gift, but it was never, there was never a time pushed. When we believed, because I grew up religious, and I still am. You know, I still do believe. I think that one of the things I liked about this particular song, to dive back into Xmas Has Been X'd, is it strikes me like, do you remember XTC's song Dear God?
No.
Nope.
It was It's a story about a little kid who is writing a letter to God saying, I no longer believe in you. Of course, the irony is you have to believe if you're going to actually write a letter to somebody. And so this song was great because he goes through the whole thing. Everything's been canceled. But Fat Mike, and one of the things I love about Fat Mike, and I'd love to hate about Fat Mike because I always want to jump on his argument. I always want to be like, no. And then he's like, oh. Where he starts with, what is it? This concept of, can I borrow your lyric sheet for a second here? It's funny how some fables become historic. And so right away I was like, I dug my heels in and I was like, because I don't believe in the Bible as literal. I believe it all as allegory.
Yeah.
And so when the authors clearly wrote them as metaphoric, and then I backed up again and I was like, all right, you get another two verses. Let's see what else you got, Mike. But people will believe anything if it's written. Wait a second. If it's on stone and angel. All right, you got me. And this is how I go through most NoFX songs, unless they're being purposely idiotic and then I can't stand
Well, there are those songs as well.
Yeah, of course. But it's then at the end, it's like this war. He does this, you know, we got mitzvah, we've got our Hanukkah. And it's like, wait, this is actually it's an anti-Christmas song, but it's also a pro-Hanukkah song in a way.
He mentioned in that one of the verses there, basically the verse that we cut out on, he tells you some of the religions, and now that Christmas has been ruined, or canceled, what they're going to do now.
Right? Yes.
So is Jesuits are slowly becoming Dianetic and so on. And the end of that goes, but mostly everyone is becoming Jew because Easter's canceled too.
Right.
So
needed a good run.
There's no point to...
That's what happened there.
There's no point to any of them because he hasn't, you know, he has not risen. You
well,
know
it's very Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
Because Dickens was all about, when he wrote Christmas Carol, it blew the church away. Like, people were like, this book is against God, because Christmas isn't for everybody. Christmas is for Christians. There's no tree, there's no gifts, there's no this. And Dickens was like, no, it's the spirit of giving, it's the spirit of the season. And of course, now I want to bust into the Muppets Christmas Spectacular. but I like that it's for me, it's the power of belief that allows us to buy into things. And I steal from Terry Pratchett all the time. It's belief that allows us to, like, belief in Santa allows us to believe in the bigger things, like justice and mercy. You know, that there is no justice in this world and there is no mercy. Nature doesn't have it. Nothing has it.
Right, okay.
It's our belief in it. Our belief that if I work hard enough, something will come back to me. Our belief that if I'm kind, kindness will come back.
Karma.
Precisely. And so belief is important, and these little lies like Santa are needed for the larger lies. And as we become older and more cynical, we you know, it's like a rocket into space. Or like reindeer going into the ocean. Well, the Atlanteans need their Christmas too. It's just as valid. No. Nice, Mommy, why are all my gifts wet? Because we live in the ocean, son.
Everything is moist.
Yes.
Oh, don't. That's a whole other episode there.
We should do a whole episode of just songs with the word moist in them. So you have a bunch of notes. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
where I wanted to go with this a little bit is I just thought it'd be interesting looking at the there's a modern day idea of war on Christmas, the kind of the right wingish talking heads.
David Byrne is into the war on Christmas?
You may ask yourself,
well, how did I get this gift?
More modern day than that. I don't even want to mention their names because they're not worth the hot air that comes out of my mouth.
Yeah,
I don't mean the. So I
people on Fox News.
I thought I'd look at the history of
the war on
Christmas controversy or the war on Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Bring it up, man.
So
how far back does it go?
This goes all the way back to around 17th. So we're talking 17th century, early colonialism.
Really?
As much as I love you,
you still don't seem to get the hang that this is not a visual medium. So all of the red string that you're currently pulling out to put onto my walls is going to be lost on the listeners. Appreciate it.
Today specifically, I have donated to Wiki because I printed out about half of Wiki.
Doesn't that feel good? Do you feel like a freaking hero? Ooh.
For donating?
Yes. Do you feel like a hero?
I use it enough that, and especially since we've begun podcasting, that...
Don't give away our secrets. People think that we really dig. Nobody knows that we just go to Wiki.
I don't only do Wiki, saying it's a good place to go to get kind of to find the rabbit holes, if you will.
Sure.
Here we go. I'll go down here. So, anyway,
it is true, though. Once you search one thing... on there.
Yeah, you just keep clicking.
Yeah.
Now, are you...
you can get totally lost.
Are you a multiple tab person, or do you follow yes. one tab as far as you can?
Multiple tabs.
I'm going to disappoint Chris here and say that I'm not as computer savvy, and I will click on a highlighted little link and then just keep clicking on that same...
Sure, so you get a page that's like 12 pages deep.
Right.
Rather than...
But then I have to go back and back. I do it every time.
Yeah.
I do it to myself, but he's a multiple tab kind of guy.
Oh, so many tabs.
Keep it organized.
All the tabs.
Yeah, see, I used to be a one-click pony. And over the years, I've learned...
One-click pony?
One-click pony. That's that was my mob name.
Right.
They used to call me... Ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be a podcaster.
That's hilarious. Hilarious.
Thanks.
So you're going to start this war on Christmas?
Well, I'm just letting you go down your So I just the history of Christmas controversies go all the way back to basically
Christmas,
even pre-Christian.
So do you think the first this. Christmas someone was like no dice?
Well, the idea. You know, there's the idea that I'm not going to go too deep in everything. The idea, first of all, that December 25th is the date of the birth of Christ, is one of those. This is the earliest of the controversies, right? There are those that doubt.
Right, they think it was a spring birth, right? Early summer or something like that.
Yeah, I don't.
Because it was the census, and when Mary and Joseph would have gone back,
something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't have all the details there for that. And then basically. The church began lining up dates of they looked at some of the
where it fit in their calendar.
Well, kind of there. So there were I guess what you want to call Scandinavian and Germanic kind of pagan type religions that had things that happened around the winter solstice.
Yep,
and that's somewhere around end of December-y, right? Their time frame, and they basically co-opted. Some of those, and that looks like that lines up good. There's already
so it was originally a war on paganism before it was a war on Christmas.
It was a co-opting of pagan stuff to coincide now with to coincide with some of the pagan.
Sure,
maybe to make it easier to come over. Oh, we celebrate around that same time frame too.
We just that's like when you have a dinner party. And people are like, well, we were going to have one too. Why don't we just merge our parties?
Right,
you know that other person had nothing, nothing. They just knew you were making turkey.
Right. Yeah.
They just showed up with like Triscuits and they're like, hey, I'm playing games here. So then
around there too, they had a celebration called Yule, which has many different pronunciations. Jules, Jule Blot, And I'll mess up all the other ones.
On purpose?
No. Huel. This is the one that occurred near the winter solstice.
Yeah, you have
right?
to say it like a Swede, though.
And in which time, so this is the where the Yuletide type expression comes from.
Yeah, that goes into one of the things I was going to talk about later with the Yule goat.
And that was around, those were around the year 900.
Okay.
All right. So fast forward to... that's some of the early stuff. But fast forward to hold on. Pardon me, people.
Page 2 is on the back.
No, I got it. I went into double sided. A lot of this carries forward all the way into. I guess there weren't a lot of. I don't have a lot of recorded controversies between there. But another holiday around the 25th of December was. A celebration of Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun. It was a Syrian god who was later adopted as the chief god of the Roman Empire.
Interesting.
Under Emperor Aurelian.
Ooh, I like that.
Which
one.
Some of us may remember from our...
Would you rename one of your children? Aurelian?
I kind
of
like it.
It's a pretty solid name, right?
Yeah.
Aurelian?
Yeah, I like it.
Ori.
So his holiday was typically on the 25th of December, and then many there are obviously pagans having many gods.
That was actually celebrated with beating each other with sticks until everybody was unconscious.
And that's not getting into how.
That was, yeah.
How, anyway,
wasn't really a popular holiday.
I guess I'm at the point where I'm doing one of my lists, but Puritans had controversy where. They were anti-Christmas.
Right,
because it was not austere enough. Right?
You weren't supposed to smile or enjoy your life.
Yes, yeah. Right, yeah. So as we're all aware, the Puritans had basically banned Christmas, and then at some point the King Charles II ended that ban.
Ended the ban on Christmas?
Yes.
He saved the war on Christmas. The original war on Christmas were actually...
Christians.
Yeah,
a lot of them were.
Yeah.
Protestants
You know what's
had
messed
issues.
Up, though? Those Puritans, right?
Yeah.
Those are the people...
Darn Puritans.
Those are the people who thought... There were people in that religious sect who believed that those people were lightweights.
Yeah.
And those are the people who came to America.
Right, I just said...
Which is really messed up when you consider, the religious freedom concept, because they came here for their religious freedom.
Their religious freedom, which was stricter than just about anything...
On Earth, yeah. I mean, they make ISIS look like Monopoly playing, like, kindergartners. And they would just... Yeah. They came here and they... Well, seriously, like, that woman smiled at me. She's a witch.
Yeah,
drowner.
Burn her alive.
The logic.
Burn her.
Yeah.
We should have done the Monty Python.
How are we going to...
How do we know she's
How are
a
we going to stay warm this winter? We have a whole bunch of witches. Like,
how really do we know she's a witch? Because she'll float. Because what else do we know floats? Wood?
They used to tie...
So what do we know? Witches are made of wood.
I learned this a couple weeks ago, but they would tie a 13-pound Bible to a woman, throw her in the water, and if she floated, she was innocent. And if she drowned... No, she drowned, she was innocent.
Yeah.
With a 13-pound Bible chained to her in a wool dress. Like, you've got one option. There was a woman, though, who, honest to God, she managed to tread water... So they pulled her out because they were going to burn her because just floating or being above the water, that wasn't like, so they went to burn her, but something happened in the burning of her or the hanging of her. I think like the rope snapped or the logs wouldn't light. And they
it's
were
a
like,
sign from,
yeah, that we've screwed up and they just let her go. It was like,
so we're sorry.
Our bad.
Take this.
Go about your business.
Take this loaf of bread.
Yeah, we've got
an apology.
Yeah, this bread is just white bread. I know. It's our fanciest.
It's got a crust.
Yeah. You can wear any color other than dark gray. May I wear the black?
So I liked this line. Pilgrims of New England disapproved of Christmas. The Plymouth Pilgrims put their loathing for the day into practice in 1620 when they spent their first Christmas day in the New World building their first structure in the New World. So they basically said, this isn't a holiday, we're working.
Right.
Get to work.
What were they building?
I don't know. I was wishing it told me that. But
they were they were building
a
general
sign.
Store.
It was
a
Panera. It was
just
Panera.
A giant wooden middle finger. Screw you, Native Americans. It was just, yeah.
But again, so the English, where they could, would come in and ban things. So in that case, in that situation, around, so that lasted for about 60 years but then an English-appointed governor by the name of Edmund Andros
unband it.
I'm sorry. Puritans, hold on. Yeah.
This just in.
He revoked it. Sorry.
Breaking cut by cut news.
I'm trying to read as I talk. Bad. There was too much of this for me to even go. Anyway, we could go. I guess we're hitting my limit on what we can talk about here. The war on Christmas is not a new thing.
Right. So what you're saying is it's age old.
It's age old.
And
it's not, you know, not to be surprised that people get all, you know, essentially get all butthurt about. You know, we're going into these days where it's litigious. We got people literally, it's ping pong. I was reading a lot on Lowe's would run a flyer. It would talk about Christmas trees and whatever the something against, you know, get all religious equality. We get all upset that you're not. And they go in and say, okay, holiday trees. And then some Christian Christmas organ, someone who people proponents for Christmas will write a letter. And these poor.
Well, I love Starbucks. Starbucks literally is just like, screw you all.
The cup.
Well, they were another one. They had originally at one point had a holiday, a Christmas mug that had Christmas specific decorations, images on the mug. And then the next year they went for a more neutral holiday centric one. And some guy went in and kind of trolled them and got them to write Merry Christmas on his mug. And it started a whole crazy. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you.
I don't often feel bad for corporations, but those are cases where Starbucks
loves that. You can't. There is no such There's no better advertising than negative advertising.
It's true.
Starbucks' name everywhere.
Yeah.
My dad, for one midnight mass, did a whole thing about how the old man, Santi, doesn't exist.
Yep.
And like people brought their children to midnight mass and were mortified. Like the whole sermon was just like, you know, we're here for Jesus, right? So we should probably celebrate the right person.
Yeah.
And he just like, he was like, spoiler alert, everything you believe is wrong, children. Yeah. My dad gets like a good chuckle, right? Everyone's like, well, Pastor Carlson. I did that to my cousin. Oh, I got tanned. Yeah. Like, I still have trouble sitting down some nights.
Yeah, he was mad, right?
You remember.
He was mad.
Jesus was, yeah. He came. Jesus. No, not my dad.
No, your cousin.
Yeah,
cousin
he was.
Mad
oh, my
when
God.
He found out.
He was sobbed like a small. Well, yeah. He was a small child.
It's dramatic.
We might very well be spoiling our children right now.
It's fine.
Well, so just to round out that talk about our.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily promote it. We don't stop it. They want to talk about it. We talk
about it. But your
children
believe in weird things, too. They
do.
So
my daughter one day started listing the things she does believe in and doesn't believe in.
Yeah, true.
Like the splinter goblin. What's that about?
Yeah, well, that's a weird... That's a
yeah,
problem.
Yeah.
One day she told me, I believe in the tooth fairy, unicorns, and Santa, but not the Easter Bunny.
Yeah,
that's too ridiculous.
He's a punk. Like, he's a freeloader.
So I liked the...
He thinks he's all cool with that vest.
I liked the...
How can he hold those eggs when he's, like, hopping around on four?
Yeah, I was like, that's too preposterous.
Seriously.
A bunny carrying a basket? Give me a break.
Bunnies are, like, the most irresponsible things on the planet.
They're really
all bunnies
though.
Carry about are...
And they poop wherever
they go. Are feasting, reproducing... And knife fights. That's all. That's
especially
all rabbits
that
care
one.
About. Seriously,
especially the last one.
You turn your back on a rabbit,
you are over. Getting shanked.
It's damn over. Straight. Damn straight. Don't even get me started on goats.
So there you go. That's Fat Mike. That's you know, no more shopping sprees.
Yeah. Well,
we're all just switched to Judaism.
Well, it's funny because the song, we both came at it from the same attitude, and maybe this is a lifelong love of anti-authoritarianism and punk rock and just,
maybe.
If there's a pot, I'll piss in it. Like, you know what I mean? Hey, here's something you love and believe in. It's very dear to you. Here's the truth about it. And watch it crumble. But this band, this old sort of punk band from the 90s, they were a band called The Membranes before that. But this guy grew up loving the music of the X-Ray Specs. And so he thought that he would bring in this woman by the name of Polly Styrene, who was the lead singer of the X-Ray Specs. And they were going to write a Christmas song. The goal of the Christmas song was to write an honest Christmas song, not one that seeks to sell products like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or even our modern-day take on Santa is, and I'll talk about this after the song, but is an envisionment from the Coca-Cola company that started in 1932.
Yeah,
so, like, we act like Santa's been part of our national heritage for, you know, the 1800s or, you know, the Puritans were dressing up, but they weren't. This is, there are people in this world who are alive right now when Santa was crafted by Coca-Cola. And so this is the first minute of Christmas City Ghosts, unless you have something to say.
No, I was going to say, that's interesting to think that there are people who are alive. Like, we think about people, like the last people are dying that were not. People are alive before cars, people are alive before microwaves and all that, and then, but we're, here we are.
Yeah, they weren't Christmas. Alive before the Yule goats.
Well, right.
But they were certainly alive before Santa Claus. So here we go. This is Gold Blade featuring the late Polystyrene. One, I love Polystyrene. I mean, she meant the world to me when she was alive. And most recently, I gave to her daughter is putting on a documentary for in her honor about her life and stuff like that. Because she is the unsung queen of punk rock. She was 18 when she first got into punk. And the impetus for this was she went to go see the Sex Pistols play in an empty room. They performed nothing. But the Sex Pistols performed nothing but cover songs, and Polly was like, yeah, I can do this. And she formed this band, and they became huge. But unfortunately, she suffered from schizophrenia and was hospitalized, and that kind of destroyed the band, obviously. They didn't survive beyond her, which really is unbelievably sad. But I also, one of my hobbies is collecting musicians who are schizophrenic. So like Rocky Erickson, Sid Barrett, Nova Rockefeller, like all of these musicians who suffer openly from schizophrenia, I think are really, really interesting because I love the music that they create because it really is expansive and it burns very brightly and it tends to not last very long, you know, like one or two albums, three or four albums, and then that's about it. Did you find, where did you go with this? Did you really do anything deep dive with this? Because I can go on forever about my Santa Claus Yule Goat stuff.
No, I did not do any kind of crazy deep dive on it. I was, one question I did have is, did he have another song called Just City of Ghosts? Like, was this song a reference to another song, Goldblade guy?
I don't know Goldblade at all. I only know this because they repressed this on Rough Trade a few years ago.
Okay.
And I was like, holy crap, this thing's amazing.
I was interested if he, because I had trouble finding, you know, when I was, you know, you mentioned I'm being frustrated with me with trying to find information
on
the songs. I was having trouble finding the lyrics to, like, I like to print them out and look at them, and I couldn't find it for this song.
Yeah,
but I could find lyrics to a song called City of Ghosts.
Right.
And they weren't their same lyrics.
No, these lyrics are not online, and because it's one of these anthematic scream the lyrics songs, I love the refrain, right? We raise a toast to the ghost of the friends we lost last year.
Yeah.
Which I think is really what the holiday should be about. Like, remember the last, like, blew my mind. Last year, I knew nobody who died. The only person I know who died personally in my own life was my cat, Gray. 2015, I went to 13 funerals.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Which is ridiculous. So I was kind of glad to have a year off, as it were.
You earned it?
Yeah, kinda. I'm kind of nervous about the coming year, I'll be completely honest, in that aspect too. But I like that this is a song which, yeah, the lyrics generally are, I mean, it has the word baubles in it. God damn
it. I noticed that. I was like, yes.
Isn't that word amazing?
Perfectly. It was perfect. It was great. It was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. And so the the lyrics themselves are kind of cynical about the overspending and the consumerism of Christmas, but that's nothing new for polystyrene. That was always kind of her thing. But the refrain is so optimistic, and that's the clear part, that it really, it's a good song for the atheist. It's a good song for the curmudgeon. It's a good song for the person who's like, screw Black Friday sales, you know, and wants to still celebrate something in a, in a hardcore way without being negative and allowing the season to kind of, I don't know, overwhelm you. But I was, as I was looking at it, I was looking at stuff like, you know, we're talking about Honest Christmas songs and how Santa was, kind of goes back to being an originally was a gaunt elf, like a large gaunt elf creature. And then in 1862, Harper's Weekly started to draw Santa as a smaller, more impish elf creature.
still not like a comfortable, like
still this, not what you want this, looming over your bed at night asking, did you eat out cookies?
Right.
Like this, that's,
I turn over and this imp is.
Well, is that where that whole, I'm just thinking of like M. Night Shyamalan, the whole Krampus thing.
Was that him? Krampus?
Yeah, Krampus?
I don't know. The movie itself, but I know that Krampus was like a duality of Santa. So like the two of them are.
Krampus would go to the shitheads of the
are
world.
The light and the dark. Yeah, but like
but
the
he
funny
was
thing
cut,
is.
I didn't watch the movie. I actually was a little nervous to watch that. Movie,
it's you're fine. It's like PG-13.
Well, yeah. One of the things I take my cues from the actors they put in the movie.
Right.
So it's got actors that are clearly there because you can laugh at them a little, like at their misfortune.
Well, I thought it was a joke, and then I kept watching the trailer. I was like, they're not joking.
No, no. It's kind of a comedy horror. You know, like Shaun of the Dead esque.
Right.
Not as clever, but still there.
Like I'll level it somewhere around. Dale Tucker versus Evil, where like not quite as
It's not as tongue in cheek or as campy.
You're probably right.
But anyway, there was the Krampus isn't the only nasty.
I said Krampus, which means he likes to crump.
He's Krunkus.
Yeah,
work it. I only listen to drum and bass. So
boots and pants.
Dubstep.
Boots and pants.
So Krampus or Krumpus, depending where you're from. I've heard it both ways.
There in, was the one,
yes.
In the city. Yes.
There was a Grilla, G-R-Y, with some kind of like line over it, L-A, from the 17th century. And I think she was Russian. Yes. And she was a giant and can detect children who are bad all year round. And children are her favorite snacks. And at Christmas, she creates a stew out of all of the bad.
Geez.
So it's not just like they throw it in the bag. There's a visualization. Like, we all know what stew looks like. Next time you're eating stew, look down and go, that's a bad kid in there. You know, bad kid makes good stew, apparently.
No, don't do this. I love a beef stew.
Are they tender?
Stew.
Are they tender?
And so there's a whole bunch of stories of her, but like, there's just been this huge resurgence since Krampus or Krumpus of the evil side of, like as if Santa isn't bad enough, right? Like Santa's like, I'm watching you and you're going to be good. And everyone goes, yay, Santa. 2017, it's like, I swear to God, if you're evil, you will get put in a bag and beaten with a stick. Like that's what Christmas has become, is I will beat you and turn you into a stew. So help me, Grilla.
Well, isn't it? To me, it's the pendulum swinging, right? Like we've gotten to this point where it's almost like Christmas music starts mid-November.
Right, yeah.
And
I'm pushing for it to start in July. I don't think it starts early enough.
I'll pick on.
I think right after 4th of July.
There's basically no commercialism for Thanksgiving, really, right? You know, some people might buy.
I disagree with that.
Gourds and cornucopias.
Do you think Thanksgiving has become too commercial?
Not too commercial, but I think it's definitely present.
Well, like, yeah, but we saw literally Halloween ended. And there might have been Thanksgiving stuff out, but Christmas stuff was out too. Like every year, it feels like it's a little bit mashed up against the.
Yeah, I see nothing wrong with that.
You see,
I see. I swear to God, like the second the last firework falls, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
You're not being facetious.
I'm totally being facetious.
Okay.
Oh God, yeah. No,
I think they push Thanksgiving more than you think, though. But think about what people are looking for when they're looking for Christmas
food.
Thing.
Thanksgiving food.
Right. So if you and I'm not like this. You know, men can go and shop and...
Yeah, it's 2017, Brooke. Men can do anything women can do. I'm tired of
y'all can do whatever you want.
Keeping men down.
You can go down to the Home Goods aisle and look at new plates. I'm just saying. They push Thanksgiving.
Oh, Home Goods. I was like, Home Depot. Wait, I was like, have
Home
you?
Goods.
Yeah, okay.
They push Thanksgiving a lot. There's like platters out and servingware and linens. It's different. Christmas, there's more music for Christmas. Like, there's ornaments for Christmas. So I think that stuff is more in your face. You notice it more.
Oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving,
the subversive holiday. I think. But Thanksgiving's becoming really even like a difficult Thanksgiving to celebrate, right? Because
I love Thanksgiving.
I think it's moving away from, you know, the Puritans and the Native Americans and that sort of celebration. I think it's moving away from that and moving more towards a time of family and, you know.
Well, I think people are trying to stay away from, they want to stay PC about it all.
Yeah.
So they just don't talk about it.
And what's your take on that? Do you think that's okay? I'm putting you on the spot.
Hot
button issue.
I always appreciate...
We started with the war on Thanksgiving. Fallout is in Turkey.
I always appreciate the beginning of everything. Like, I think kids should know about that stuff.
Sure.
Sure, we have to be sensitive in the way that we talk about things like that now because people seem to be more sensitive.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
I've said this before. I agree.
I think it's important to know how things start, though.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, we toss around a lot, not us three personally, but in society we throw around like snowflakes and PC and da 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 da. And I like the fact that right now people are walking very carefully through conversations because it means at least that they're talking and they're having conversations.
Conversations are really important and they don't need to stop.
Saying. And we don't have a language to say some of the things we want to say, right? We're so used to using, you know, you watch a film from the 1980s and they're throwing around words that we would never think. In the PG movies.
E.T. Right. Watch E.T.
Be
horrified.
No, we would never use.
But just, you're made uncomfortable very quickly.
But not even the swear words. I mean, like, just the common, you know, stuff that we would throw around. And I kind of like that we're moving away from that stuff or that we're unsure how to talk about it because, you know, we don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah, you don't want to offend anyone.
In 15, 20, 30 years, we'll have our language sorted. We'll figure it out. We're a smart community, a world community, I think, that we'll have it starting to be pieced together better. A lot of the people who are maintaining this language and who are like, well, so what, I want to call them that, will be dead. And
yeah, sure.
And we'll see what this current generation brings to the table as far as adulthood.
It is a little tough. I mean, I don't want to throw a huge butt in there. The flip side of that is...
But you've always liked...
Well, the flip side of that, all though, is there can be a tipping point where you don't have to be offended by everything.
Sure,
what I mean? Because there's a point where it's like, come on, you know, I didn't mean that. You know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and there are moments when you just be like, oh, this is so tiring.
Well, just as there's people on this side of the pendulum, as you were saying earlier, who were like, you can't use any of these words because all of them are
red flagged.
You have this side who was like, I'm just going to use all these words in the same damn sentence.
There's no.
And right now, there's no. You're right. There's no middle ground right now. That has to fill in at some point.
Yeah, it has to.
You know, the sides have to give a little. Well, that really went in a very different direction than any of the notes that I have. So I'm looking at all of this stuff. And I'm going to move beyond it because we are reaching the final third of the show.
Yes.
And we have the last track that we need to talk about. So let's bring up our little introduction cue for it.
Hey, you mind if I put on some music?
Not at all.
Grab my Terry Folds.
What is that?
I just hit shuffle.
Are you kidding? This universe. Oh, excuse me.
We should listen to one random song a day, you know? We end up hearing more songs we didn't like, but we discover a lot more that we did.
So it is now time. I gotta cue that better. But ultimately, it is now time for our random song.
Random song?
And this is why.
Our random, not so random pick by our
Right. This is our Christmas special. I almost said Christmas Halloween. This is where the hostess with the mostest kicks in and tells us a little bit about the song that she done chose.
Future patron saint of women with big babies for husbands.
Fists of Fury.
Fists of Fury.
Teeth Smasher. Aww. I was looking for a rhyme and I couldn't think of any rhyme with Smasher.
I've got some, but it's not appropriate.
Yeah, all right.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't.
And she makes a hell of a taco.
Guacamole. Yay.
Guacamole was fantastic. I actually had to go out the other night and buy. I came home. So for a little bit of background information, we went to an event and Brooke made more guacamole than any event could possibly handle.
Mucho.
Yeah, even if there were like 600 people. This was like loaves and fishes of guacamole. Every time you scooped, there was more guacamole.
That's exactly what happened.
It was amazing. You are the Jesus Christ of guacamole.
Thank you.
I have no problem saying that, and I know I'll go to heaven.
I don't even know what to say.
Because I know Jesus right now. Jesus right now up in heaven going, it's true. Yeah, he's right. Jesus Christ of guacamole. I mean, if there was a Jesus Christ of guacamole, it would be Brooke. Yeah.
All I can picture is one of the actors from Lieutenant Dangle from Reno 911 dressed up as Jesus going, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
With a little bit of guac on his beard. Yeah.
On his beard.
So I came home and I had been out all day. I was exhausted. I was running from thing to thing to thing. And I sat there with this. You know that I live alone, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, you gave me enough guacamole for my neighborhood.
I know. I want you to eat.
And so I sat down and I was like, honest to God, this is a low point in my living solo. I actually considered how clean my two fingers were. And I was like, I don't need a spoon for this. I can just do this. I can do this. Because I didn't want to go. I was so tired. And I was like, you know what? No, I've got to have. At the end of the day, I've got to go to bed having a shred of dignity left.
You couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it. So I went out. I drove to CVS. I bought a bag of Tostitos. And I came back. And I shame ate about half that bowl.
It was worth the effort. That's amazing.
Every bite was worth the effort. Are you kidding me?
Thanks for saying that.
No, it was delicious. So here we go. The guacamole queen of Rhode Island. Brooke, do you want to introduce your song?
Sure. So I'm kind of a, well, I'm not kind of, I very much am a literal type of person. So when I heard the title of this episode.
Sure.
I was thinking like.
You thought we were going to get raunchy? X.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Two dudes in a room.
This is about as raunchy as we get.
I thought that's where it was going. So.
Two dudes the name who of love my... Star Wars.
Two dudes in a room. And just sounds books. Like the world's worst. Like that sounds like it could be its
beginning
own
beginning of a book.
Yeah, it's its own
two
like
dudes were in a
Pornhub
room.
Video thing. Two dudes in a room.
No, it wouldn't get like that. So anyway, my song that I chose is the original version of "I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus."
All right, let's cue it up and here we go. From Jimmy Boyd.
Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. She didn't see me creep down the stairs to have a peep. She thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep. I saw Mommy tickle Santa Claus underneath his beard so snowy white. What a laugh it would have been if Daddy had only seen Mommy kissing.
Ah, crap. It's so bad.
Little known fact, Daddy was given an extra dose of Tylenol PM. He's asleep in the other room, passed out, man. He is done for.
Yeah. So,
how do you even begin to unpack this song?
All right. So this song was written in 1952. It was written by Jimmy Boyd. He was 13 when he wrote it. It also featured a man named Norman Luboff. I could be saying that incorrectly. It's been rehashed several times by some really interesting people. So, 1952, Spike Jonze and his City Slickers. 1962, The Four Seasons. 1970, Jackson 5, which is probably what...
That's the most famous one. That's the one that most people know, right?
Yeah, on the radio.
Yeah.
John Cougar Mellencamp actually did that as well.
In his John Cougar phase.
Yes. Have you heard that one?
1987? No.
That's the one where he brings his daughter on stage
and she sings. Tickling?
I don't think there's any tickling.
See, that's so bad.
That's the weird part.
Yeah.
And then get this. 1997, RuPaul.
Yes, but...
Work it.
But he switched.
But he switched the name of it. I saw Daddy kissing Santa Claus.
You know what?
Oh, damn.
RuPaul, he's awesome.
Yeah.
There's not a nasty thing I have in the world.
Kudos.
Yeah,
all
right.
Let him own it, man. He is awesome. I can't take that voice seriously. Holy crap.
I can't either. It's really creepy. They even use the word creep in the lyrics.
Because he was creeping.
In a different way. And peeping.
There he is. Yeah.
Yeah, so this boy, I mean, what kind of childhood did he have?
Well, it's 1952. He's 13. One can assume probably a lot of childhood innocence implied. But...
Yeah.
The Roman Catholic Church put the lockdown on this song almost immediately.
Yeah, they should have.
They were like,
good for them.
No. And this song was actually condemned by the Roman Catholic Church because kissing and Christmas just don't mix.
Yeah.
So how does that
that was awesome. It'd be
interesting to know when mistletoe came into the Christmas.
I'm surprised you asked. Thank you. Do you have that? Do you have the information?
No, I don't.
Does anybody? Can I bring mistletoe to the table?
Go for it.
So mistletoe was originally a Druidic myth, right? And it was mixed with the blood of two white bulls.
What?
And it would be mixed and drank as a potion.
White bulls.
White bulls.
I noticed that too.
Not Red Bull. White bulls. This wasn't Smirnoff. Like some fraternity party Smirnoff 1982. Bull. Right. And it was to make a cure for infertility. And the tradition.
Interesting.
It, over the years, obviously, it became a tradition that a man can kiss any woman under the mistletoe. And it's bad luck for women to reject that kiss.
That's bullshit.
Right? Call it like it is. That is
damn this
freaking nuts.
Because of the two bulls. That's why I said that.
Well played. nice. But mommy's... But so if that's the case, right? If they're under the mistletoe, and let's pretend that little Jimmy Boyd knows the sordid past of mistletoe's druidic, you know, history, right? Mommy's kissing Santa back.
Right.
Meaning...
She likes it.
Yeah. Mama's not too worried about this man who's come down a chimney, eaten her cookies, drank her milk, and now, you know, planting one on her. She's enjoying herself.
Yeah. So this is my thing. Well, this is my thing with this song.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, from a parent's perspective, we all know who it really is. From the child's perspective,
what?
We all know who the man is.
Go back.
We know as parents, adults listening to the song, that is not Santa.
Do we need to put a spoiler warning in the beginning of the show?
We have to.
People with children don't listen.
We just did.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
No.
A little late.
We put it at the end.
Oops.
A little late.
Yeah.
We know that this man is dad, but that kid.
Or is it?
So wait, I know where you're going with this. Yeah, keep going.
He's fucked up. He's like, I don't know. Can I say that?
Yeah, it's a podcast. You can say whatever you want. Really, you're the other listener.
What in the beepity beep is going on? What is going on? That's confusing. So
here's a kid discovering. Let me pick up what you're putting down.
Okay.
You are suggesting that this child has seen Santa. The belief is there, right?
It's a twofer.
Is that going up or down?
That was up.
Okay. he sees Santa. He's like, my God, Santa Claus is real.
Check.
His tongue is in my mother's mouth.
Yep.
where's dad? My mother is shtupping the big man.
Check, check. Santa is real and my mom is having an affair.
Oh my God.
Right?
But it's, well, Santa, so it's okay.
This could have
gone right.
No, it's not in any case.
Not from Mama a child's needs a Christmas perspective.
Present. Mama needs to unwrap a package.
No, it's wrong.
Mama needs a Christmas present.
It's so wrong on so many different levels. So,
you know, what do they call them now?
Elves?
No. This trend sweeping the nation of
Elf on a Shelf.
No, the extra, what do they call it? I'm totally dropping the ball here. People in relationships where they...
Polyamorous.
Polyamorous.
So you think
this
that...
Was this
you're in love
early...
with more than one person.
Sure, which is possible and plausible. Or in this case, clausible. But I don't think that that's how you want your child to discover it. But why is dad dressing up as Santa? If the kid's supposed to be asleep, oh my God, they set this up.
They set this up. They wanted him to find out.
Maybe they did.
They.
It's a conspiracy.
You and I both had a light bulb that just went off.
Seriously.
Above our heads.
I know. And so, all right. So mom and dad are sitting at the table. We're like, we're going to teach him a lesson in staying in bed on Christmas Eve. This kid's got one job.
He gets
stay
out of bed.
The
this
fuck
is
in bed.
This is what's going to happen. This is who he's going to see.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to learn a harsh lesson, kid. Santa's hot for your mom.
Not only are you going to have all these questions, you know, birds and bees and
all in one glorious Christmas morning.
Listen,
I'm just unwrapping sadness.
I got to bring you back. I'm bringing you back.
Okay.
Now. Where I want to go with this is the psychology of it all for the child.
Okay.
So I looked up some...
Who brought the preschooler to the preschool teacher to the...
This is great. No, this is the most education. She's got sources, Chris.
I know.
Well,
she's not afraid to use them.
Shame.
Here's where I want to go with this. So I looked up some infidelity statistics.
Okay.
I just wanted to see how infidelity, or I should say, what percentage of children are affected by...
Infidelity. Sure.
Yeah. So I found two sources. I went on this website called Trustify.
Yeah, we've never cited a source, so don't worry about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just say I've read it on the internet. That works.
So I read recent infidelity statistics suggest that in over one-third of marriages, one or both partners admit to cheating.
Wow.
Yeah. And then when I kept looking on stuff, found another article, and then... there was like a clinical psychologist or something. She wrote a book about studying about that.
Sure.
How it affects children. She found that 70% felt betrayed by their cheating parent.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that's a big percentage. 80% said that it affected their attitude towards love and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then 70% said that they believe it impacted their ability to trust others.
Wow.
So that's just an interesting...
So these people ruined their kid's life.
They got messed up.
This kid, this little Jimmy Boyd with his Hawaiian guitar and his adorably large straw hat and his little buck teeth and freckles, probably spent a lot of time in therapy.
Probably. And you know what? Instead of just leaving it at that song, there was a movie that was made.
Right, yeah.
With the title, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa
Claus. Yes.
Was it
a Lifetime movie?
Yeah, the jet ski chase in that is amazing.
The jet ski
chase. The plot of the movie is there's a little boy, and it takes place after Thanksgiving. I haven't seen it. I just was reading about it. And he overhears his best friend's parents arguing or something, and saying that they're getting divorced. He goes back home at some point or something like that. Hears his parents arguing. He assumes the worst. They're getting a divorce. Later sees his mom making out with Santa.
Yeah, this kid should stop snooping.
And assumes that
this kid's like, solve your problems, kids. Pay mind your own fucking business.
Assumes she's having an affair.
Yeah.
And then as a result of that, unleashes all this crazy bad behavior.
Sure.
That gets him into a mess of trouble. only to discover the truth.
I think that's the prequel to The Basketball Diaries, right? He becomes a heroin junkie and, like, goes to New York and, like, male pimps and stuff, like male prostitutes.
I've actually never seen that movie.
No?
Yeah.
Oh, it's dark.
Yeah.
But it's based. But I just wonder about poor little Jimmy Boyd's real life. Like, how are you at 12 sitting around?
Two marriages that ended in divorce.
What makes you write a song about that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Where'd that come from?
What's happening to you at, like, 12 when you start playing your guitar?
Little Jimmy Boyd factoid.
Yeah.
He married TV's Batgirl.
No. Oh. Yvonne Craig?
Yvonne Craig.
What?
Yeah.
No.
The marriage ended then divorced. He got drafted into the Army. That was my little fact, Jimmy Boyd fact.
Wow. Got, he lucked out. He won, though, like the human lottery.
The human lottery?
Holy cow.
They were married for roughly, doesn't say.
Were they married long enough to make out?
Yes.
Oh, lucky bastard.
After a year of marriage.
Lucky bastard.
He only married for a little over a year.
I don't care. They made out. He made out with Yvonne Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's don't bury the lead on that story, yeah, man. Little Jimmy Boyd ended up making it. Screw Santas. Guess, take yeah. that, Mom. I'm making out with Batgirl.
Is that the Batgirl, the Adam West Batgirl?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Yvonne Craig was awesome.
The blondie? She's yep. blonde, right?
Yep. Reddish, yeah. Strawberry blondish.
Something-ish.
Reddish.
I don't know.
It was kind of reddish, right?
So yeah, that's my thing with that song. I just
it actually was Red Hue 35. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
The Pantone for it was Garden Sunrise.
I'm just kidding.
So this then brings us close, if not to the end, as we are now breaching the 1 hour mark. Yeah. Do you have any last minute facts or words that you would like to say regarding Jimmy Boyd?
No, I'm good.
Polystyrene.
No, good.
Or Fat Mike from NoFX.
I'm also good.
If you could send any one of them a Christmas greeting, what would it be?
Oh, crap. I'm going to need a minute.
All right. Chris, how about you? Any one of them, Fat Mike, Polystyrene, or Little Jimmy Boyd?
Well, two of the three are dead, so I'll send a letter to Fat Mike.
Okay.
And just say keep on rocking, man.
All right. With little devil horns.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, what's the punk rock? Or just a fist in the air.
Just a middle finger. Yeah, fist in the air. No, that's like, you just give a middle finger.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
When in doubt, drink Mike's beer.
I have to, yeah, okay, fine. I won't go into.
We'll get to know. I'm sure we'll hit another NoFX song at some other point.
It's possible.
All right.
I'll try.
He's like so dejected, man. It's all right.
No, I was
going to. It's okay.
That's fine.
He's you not did good. Listen.
Yeah, now
you
is
did
not the good. Time to share my.
Yeah, no. Mommy and Santa still love each other. I just worry about poor Mrs. Claus and all of this.
Yeah. Well,
she's completely oblivious.
The silent victim.
She's sitting up there at the North Pole with, like, what?
Unawares.
A dozen, 2 dozen, 3,000 elves.
And Santa's out gallivanting.
Right? And does he stop and make out, like, is it milk cookies and a little bit of, you know, alone time with mommy?
Yeah.
Is that?
Apparently.
That's a lot of kissing.
If it happened once.
Oh my God. Santa is the herpes ground zero. He is. He is the plague carrier. So
that's the next episode.
The next episode, Plague Carriers. Plague carrier. Yes. Which will actually be episode 4. You're with us on that. All right. So, Brooke, do you want to take us out here?
I'm a little nervous.
Keep going.
So we are on the internet of Radio Mutation, Podbean, iTunes, and cutbycut.com. Send bonus tracks and comments to cutbycutpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @cutbycutpodcast. Check out playlists.
For the season.
I'm having trouble.
It's an eye chart. Right.
On Spotify. And head over to iTunes to give us a review. Queue up for the topic.
That's a silent part.
I read the silent part loud. Oh,
Eric,
no.
Fire up the topic engine.
All right. Next week, Hilarious. The topic engine goes a little like this.
It's going to sound a lot like
the one from last week.
The one from last week.
I think I just unplugged something here. All right. I don't know what the hell's going on. Give me a second. Next week, we are doing. I'm going to have to cut some of this out.
Drugs, boots,
ooh, and mystical creatures. So join us next time, won't you?
Thanks for coming, Brooke.
You're welcome.
It was delightful.
Thanks for having me.
All right.